Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jonathan Turley, Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Total mayhem breaking out at Columbia University. A mob of anti-Israel students barricading themselves inside a building on campus and hunkering down for the long haul. We have much more on that to come in the show. But first, former President Trump sounding off after another huge day in his hush money criminal trial. Watch.
This gag order is not only unique, it's totally unconstitutional. I'm the Republican candidate for President of the United States. I received this honor in record time. Nobody's ever gone faster. It's never happened. Nobody's ever got the numbers that we got. And I'm sitting in a courthouse all day long listening to this stuff. It's a Biden trial. And I never saw so many prosecutors. They're all sitting in the room over nothing, over absolutely nothing. There's no crime. There's no anything here.
And this morning, the judge ruling that Trump be held in contempt of court and must pay $9,000 for violating the gag order. He even threatened Trump with jail time if he violates it again. Trump did get one small win. The judge is going to allow him to attend his son Barron's graduation ceremony on May 17th. Today, more witnesses taking the stand, including the lawyer who represented two women allegedly from Trump's past, Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. But it's the person who has not taken the stand yet that some say is threatening the credibility of Alvin Bragg's case. Star witness Michael Cohen accused of cashing in on the trial with nightly live streams on TikTok. ABC News doing a review of those streams, and they say it appears Cohen is earning a financial benefit through viewers' donations.
Michael Cohen here with another Michael Cohen Reacts.
10 o'clock again. Same bad time, same bad channel. See you then. When I was testifying before the House Oversight Committee, I turned around and I said that Donald Trump has shown acts of generosity, but he is not a generous person.
Michael Cohen railing against the report on Twitter, calling it a non-story and shoddy tabloid type of reporting. So let's start there. And it's wonderful to welcome you to The Five, Professor Turley.
Thank you.
Can we start with Michael Cohen making money on TikTok after the show, commenting when nobody else is allowed to comment?
My assumption is that they're not going to have the special effects when he testifies, that the cowboy hat will not be added. But who knows? Look, nobody is shocked that Michael Cohen seems to have gone back on his word that was only a few days ago. Mm. I mean, he was just recently criticized by a judge as a serial perjurer who's gaming the system. So what's fascinating about this trial is they're setting the table for this guy as their star witness. And I would think any lawyer would loathe that moment. I mean, when he takes the oath in that courtroom, I think people will be looking up to make sure lightning isn't striking the courthouse.
Judge, what do you think? What do you think of that piece? And then I would love to get your take on the gag order as well.
Well, I think that the fundamental issue here is that Donald Trump is being gagged. A former president and a running for president right now is being gagged while one of the witnesses was allowed to trash him extensively every day, more than every day. I mean, the American people see that as unfair. It is eminently unfair. But then when Michael Cohen says, look, I'm going to back off. I'm going to be a real gentleman here. And instead, I'm going to go on TikTok and make a lot of cash. But the order, and I had said this, Professor, last week. I mean, I have a copy of the March 26th order, and it says that Trump's not allowed to make or direct others to make public statements. The reposting of tweets is not making or directing others to make statements. And to me, it's indicative of the incompetence of this judge, the fact that if this is appealed, if there is a conviction, when it is appealed, that this will be part of the reversal. And I think today you've got Colangelo from the Department of Justice who came out and said, you know what, on the violation of the gag order, we want to be able to cross-examine Donald Trump. What that's telling you is they're going to take everything and see what they can throw at him and see what sticks, whether it's defamation, E. Jean Carroll, civil lawsuits, impeachments, and he violated the gag order. And this is the Department of Justice who's pretty much going to cross-examine Donald Trump.
Do you think he should not testify then in this case?
I don't think he's got anything to gain, because if you look at today, this banker, Farrow, today, all he did was he dealt with Michael Cohen to establish an LLC. And then Donald's the president's attorneys get up and they say, did you ever have a conversation with Donald Trump?
No.
Right. It's got nothing to do with Trump.
And the judge, though, Jesse, he used a word incarcatory, which I had never heard.
This
means that you could end up going to jail for things. Incarcatory.
Incarcatory. I did not know about that. But they keep saying Trump's involved in a conspiracy. The conspiracy is on the left. You have a Democrat DA coordinating with a Democrat donating judge to suppress the free speech of the Republican nominee for president. And so what they've done is they've taken a major issue off the table. Weaponization of government, renegade prosecutors, corruption. That is a major issue for voters in the fall. And because they're charging Trump, he can't talk about a major issue facing voters. Mm-hmm. Voters can't hear about the rigged system, the corrupt prosecution, a Democrat DA who has inserted himself into a general election and then gags the guy who he's prosecuting from talking about it. That's insane. So all these things are on Truth Social. They're like press releases. A judge is saying we're going to now control the types of press releases that come from a presidential campaign. And if it attacks me or if it attacks the DA, you're not allowed to do that. Well, what did he post? One time he just called Cohen a liar. Cohen is a convicted liar. And then he called a porn star extortionist a sleazebag. That's not a lie. That's not a threat. That's just an observation. And he should be able to make observations at trial. The other thing, he retweeted something I said. What I was saying was there are people who are lying on juror questionnaires about negative things they posted about the defendant. And then it turns out, oh, you know what? I did say he belongs in prison. Oops. And so he can't talk about anything like that. That means Rachel Maddow could be seated. And Donald Trump couldn't say, Maddow's on my jury and she's staring at me. He can't say that or they're going to throw him in jail. That's not right. The American people know it's not right. And that's why, since this whole charade's happened, his poll numbers have popped.
I know. Let me give you the floor.
Where do I do with it?
Don't do that.
Trump has got to be really, really pissed. He now has to go to Barron's graduation. He was hoping. Now he's got to sit through 3 hours of tedium. I mean, if you want to do that, watch Fox and Friends.
Oh, I kid.
I love them. Michael Cohen, we have to remind everyone, Michael Cohen was Trump's lawyer. If someone broke the law over the legal advice given to you, wouldn't that be on the lawyer who gave you the advice? If my lawyer told me you need to enter this payment, this legal payment this way, because there's no other way to do it, how in the right mind can the lawyer then testify against me as the chief witness? This is lawfare on lewds. And it's another example. And you look at Christina Bobb. She's a lawyer for Trump. She could face like a total of life in prison over this other stuff. They're hunting everybody around Trump so they could flip him so then he's isolated. And the media has always warned us that Trump is an authoritarian and his supporters are like this big mob in red hats. Now, if you want to lose power and get hunted, support Trump. In today's culture, if you want a target on your back, if you want your power taken away, if you want your job threatened, if you want to be threatened with jail, you support Trump. However, if you want to reject Trump, say he's evil, you rise. You rise in your career and everything. And if you wear a red hat, you'll be shamed and laughed at. So this idea that somehow if Trump gets into office, like we're going to have this authoritarian world, we're kind of seeing that right now, but it's against Trump and his supporters. I want to talk about just briefly another case that's coming up that's every bit as stupid. The one in Georgia is based on one word, find. That the word find that Trump used when he said find votes doesn't mean look for. It means create. So let's apply that to real life. Let's say, Jesse, you ask your spouse, can you find me the scissors? And 4 hours later, she returns with an arts and crafts project she made of wood and twine of scissors. You would think she's crazy. You would go, look, dear, the scissors are under the pillow where I left them. And she'd go, okay. Finding assumes something is already there. It doesn't mean create, but the Dems are always about mind reading. If you take away mind reading, they have nothing else. So if you don't want girls competing against men in sports, they mind read and say you're a transphobe. If you're against DEI, they mind read and say you're racist. If Trump says, you go and find me these votes, they think, oh, he's saying make it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to add something. You just said a very important thing. You said the truth is that Donald Trump is doing things on advice of counsel.
Right.
Okay. Do you know what the judge gagged Donald Trump from saying in the court? He is not allowed to say on the advice of counsel. So this judge has literally pulled from Donald Trump the ability to use a defense essential to his case.
But he's also,
this is corrupt.
But he's also guaranteed Trump can't take the stand by
right.
allowing the scope to be this broad.
Right.
I mean, for Trump to take the stand is like jumping into a wood chipper and hoping you come out on the other side.
In one piece.
Yeah, I mean, because it is not a good situation. But by the way, this judge said on the contempt order that this is all a matter of first impression. And he said it lacks legal authority. And then he went ahead and sanctioned him. You would think that if the judge thought it was a first impression, he'd say, let me clarify. Yeah. Here's the rules going forward. And instead he says, you know what? This is sort of, we got to develop this as we go. Here's your sanction.
This is nuts.
How'd you know where I kept my scissors?
I just assumed that would be the case.
To get out of my restraints.
And you know they go hiking every day, too. So there we go. All right, coming up, a full-blown riot breaking out at Columbia. Radicals still occupying a building on campus after barricading themselves in and hanging up banners for Hamas and calling for takeout.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
A pro-Hamas insurrection at Columbia. Anti-Israel anarchists smashing windows with hammers as they breached a building on campus, barricading the doors to occupy the academic hall. They hung up flags in support of terrorists who slaughtered Jewish families, chanting calls for an intifada. Columbia is trying to save face by saying that any students occupying will face expulsion. But that threat didn't scare them off. The occupiers are still there, banging those drums in a bongo, chanting for students to stand their ground. Now, after waging a revolution for about a few hours, they got hungry. Luckily, somebody threw down a rope and pulled up essential supplies in milk crates. But they struggled to get up this delicious-looking pizza. Unable to fit the large square box into a smaller rectangular one. How did these people even get into an Ivy League school?
Students, hold your ground!
Students, hold your ground!
So, Greg, they have now knocked out the SAT requirement.
Yeah.
At Columbia. That could explain the inability to get the pizza up to the second floor.
That is true. And also, they don't really exercise that much. I I'm going to repeat myself. We should be celebrating the monster turning on its creator. Mm. We should almost be stepping away from this and just let the idiot on idiot action go to completion. Let the colleges implode. And if you have students there, take them out. If you're smart, enroll them in another college. Sue for the tuition you paid. And if you're Jewish, you have kids there, get them out. Because you know what? You're not wanted there. There's some main points to illustrate here. Number one, under the guise of freedom, they're impeding on the freedom of others, right? And they use the costume of the oppressed to actually oppress. It's a rabid dog pretending to be an underdog. And then they condemn authority while they're actually trying to establish their own authority, you know, sanctioned and amplified by this paternal authority, which is the university. They exploit the terrain, which is the university, as somehow it's a sacred ground, a safe space for uncivil behavior. But you have to ask yourself, would you do that at a Waffle House? Would you try to impede, you know, some family's, you know, attempt to get a pancake? Well, do they have pancakes there? Or waffles? No, you wouldn't, because you'd get your asses kicked. But you know you're coddled here. So, I don't know. When you're watching this, I say, let it roll.
They have been letting it roll. And then today the mayor said, you know what, we might actually have to just go in and not allow Jewish students to be persecuted.
It is outrageous. I agree with you in terms of also like, okay, fine, you want to implode Columbia? Yeah. Great, knock yourselves out. What do we care? But the fact that Jewish students feel threatened on campus, that's where we have to step in. And that's where you have to say something. Mika Brzezinski this morning on MSNBC, she's the one who said that this looks just like January 6th, right? And so now you have a situation where there were also all these cameras on the other side of that guy breaking into the windows. There's tons of media with all these cameras. They were pre-positioned there in order to get the shot. Who's helping them? Let's find out. The other thing is, the Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, they're called. You could also say Students for Jihad in Palestine. They have hundreds of chapters across the country, and they get millions of dollars from George Soros and the Rockefeller brothers. William Lajeunesse, our reporter out in California, he reported on all of this yesterday. Two things have happened also that are outrageous outside of Columbia. One, at the University of Utah, one of the conditions that they asked for was ending cops on campus. What does that have to do with Palestine? Or Gaza, or hostages, or freedom. Nothing. That's just something that the left wants. But the other thing is Northwestern University, and the professor can talk about this a little bit more, but I'll mention it. They did something crazy. In order to negotiate with their student terrorists, they said, tell you what, we will definitely put you on a committee, and then we will decide what Jewish businesses aren't allowed to do business with our university anymore. And when you have Jewish people say, guys, you want to know what it was like in the 1930s when Nazism was increasing? This is what it was like. And they're not joking. The last thing I would mention is one of the hostages' moms, the one who was in the video last week, they were on Dan Senor's Call Me Back podcast, and I listened to it today. They saw their son after 200 days. The mother said, I barely recognized him, but I knew it was my son because I know it was my son. But she said he was speaking Hebrew. We usually speak in English. He had his left arm has been cut off, amputated, blown off, and he's not being well taken care of. And what she said was, I'm sitting here doing this interview, and you might think, oh, she looks okay. She looks okay. She said, but inside, I am being completely burned with a poker in my back at all times of the day. So we can't forget those hostages and what the families are going through.
Yeah, and Northwestern also, as part of that deal, gave scholarships for Palestinian students and also special housing for Muslim students. It was a very big, large deal. And this has always been the approach of some universities, the path of least resistance. But at some point, administrators are going to have to go to the students and say, we actually do need the buildings. Yeah. That is, the buildings have a function, and we can give up everything else on campus, but we need the buildings. But remember, at Columbia, years ago, they raided the library. Remember that? Because they were upset that conservatives were coming onto campus. Mm-hmm. So this didn't just happen overnight. I mean, welcome to higher education. These students have been shown over and over again that there are no consequences.
And now there have to be, because we've moved beyond just kind of violating the student code of conduct You're smashing windows. Didn't they hold a janitor hostage?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Let me tell you, right, there's so much to say about this. The first thing that I'm struck by is the fact that they've got these keffiyehs, these hats, these masks on. They won't identify themselves, yet they want to harass, intimidate, and assault you, but they're not willing to say who they are. I suspect a lot of that is because many of them are not students. Mm. They're professional agitators. They're people from off campus. But here's the problem. When you've got someone like this President Shafiq, who doesn't do anything, who says, we've got a deadline today. No, we'll make it tomorrow, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, nothing happens. She's emboldening those people just the way the left is emboldening the criminals to commit crimes by saying, we're not going to do anything. Don't worry, we're going to let you out. The most outrageous part of all of this, and I didn't know that Mika Brzezinski said that about January 6th. That's the first thing I thought of, January 6th. I also thought of Kristallnacht when they were breaking that glass as a reminder of what happened in the late 30s in Germany. But the issue is this. We're standing and talking about this. This can be resolved in no time. All you have to do is you get the police on campus. You don't owe an explanation to anybody. They are disrupting things. They can be charged with crimes. They can be charged with the assault on those superintendents or whoever was in the building, as well as false imprisonment, as well as a variety of other charges. You clear the campus. I want to know who's on a visa. I want to know that their visa is being suspended and that they've started revocation hearings. I want them out of this country. I don't want to hear that they're listening in Al Jazeera and cheering what's going on in the United States, and the Palestinian flag is wrapped up in the United States on Columbia University, and calling for the elimination of Jews. If it were blacks, believe me, they'd be all in jail right now. And I don't resent any blacks, but what I know is that Title VI of the Civil Rights Act makes it very clear. Department of Education can withdraw the funding, all the tax benefits, the Department of Justice should be involved, and we've got a president who's such a wuss. He has someone speak for him and say, we're going to let the universities handle it, while we have a president who's being prosecuted in Lower Manhattan who comes out. The first thing he says is, we've got to stop what's going on in these universities. It can stop. They've got to understand they don't have the power. We do, and we're tough enough to use it.
Can I add one thing, Jesse, that I forgot to mention? Now, this is according to Columbia's own statistics. They have 36,000 students total. 14,000 of those students are on foreign student visas. Now, I'm all for educating in the Western style people from all over the world, but I think this is something that Columbia is going to have to take a look at.
Well, they sure will.
All right, the two students blocking protesters from the doorway will be on Laura exclusively tonight at 7 o'clock.
Poor kids.
Coming up, the raging Cajun James Carville unleashes on young voters for ditching Joe Biden. Listen to this.
That's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me.
Isolated, depressed, and in.
And Joe Biden is taking a shellacking in the polls, and it's got the Democrats melting down like never before. First up, it's the raging Cajun himself. James Carville has a simple four-letter message for young voters who've soured on Joe Biden.
I hear this a lot. Young voters are just not into this. And you just can't blame them for, oh, you. All right? Are you watching what is happening in the Supreme Court? But that's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
Nancy Pelosi is freaking out on an MSNBC host who dared to question President Biden's record on jobs.
Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I
he
don't
has
think
the worst.
That anybody can accuse and me of that.
Wow. And poor Nicole Wallace is having the mother of all meltdowns.
depending on what happens in November, 7 months from now, we can't say for certain that there would even be a White House correspondents' dinner or even a free press or even a White House press corps. This time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House correspondents' dinner or a free press.
Okay, Dana, I have to start with you on that one. Nicole Wallace saying, this time next year, I might not be sitting here if Donald Trump gets elected. Now, let me ask you a question. Donald Trump was president for 4 years, and she was sitting there. She's worried about
it. I think the press is going to do just fine if Donald Trump is elected. In fact, they did beforehand. I don't know why the press isn't complaining more that he's the one who doesn't give any interviews or do any press conference. I was a deputy press secretary. I loved that job. By no means did I ever think that my words in a written statement would substitute for something the commander-in-chief ought to say, for example, on the student protest. We have great statements coming from the deputy press secretary. That is not a substitute. And Joe Biden not being on camera, it's a problem. You mentioned Al Jazeera. Everybody around the country is watching the media on this. And so I also thought Nancy Pelosi was really rude to Katie Tour. She didn't deserve that because you can't give Biden credit for all the jobs created and then say, and also Trump lost all the jobs and not like point out that COVID was the reason. The jobs came back because COVID ended. Katie Tur did not deserve that. And on James Carville, I think that we're witnessing like the six stages of grief, or however many stages of grief there are, because he started with passion, right? And he was like, we have to say that Trump is a threat to democracy. And then he went to, well, Biden isn't doing very good, is he? And now he's raging. What we might get next week is acceptance.
You know what? The truth is, Greg, that the raging Cajun, I mean, he's turned into basically a curmudgeon. And I wonder if anyone is even listening to him anymore. I mean, he only comes out every 3 or 4 years. And boy, is he angry.
He's evolving into the character in Deliverance that attacked John Voight in the woods. I don't know if you remember that scene, but it's not good. And he sounds like, while he's talking, somebody's like cleaning his teeth. Like he's like in the middle of having his root canal. And someone should tell Nicole that she's not that important. She's not that well known. That is a delusion of grandeur. And I might not be in this seat in a year. It's like, well, another reason to vote for Trump, I guess. But I don't know who you are. You just had the biggest audience you've ever had by playing that clip here. I think the meltdowns are expected because every front looks pretty dire. There's no policy that they can speak of that wows anybody. And there's no shining example of optimism or progress in the Democratic Party. It's because they paid a price for always looking backwards. You know, our country went to hell because they were busy painting our past as a hell, you know, and they enabled the woke to infiltrate, and they chased all their best people out, all their intellectuals, all their writers, and they were replaced by destroyers, not creators. There's no one on the left that's creating anything, just destroying comedy, women's sports, law and order, housing, energy policy. I'm trying to think of one thing the Dems have created aside from emotionally damaged and perhaps mutilated children.
Well, you know, the problem is that when you escalate rhetoric like this, where do you go from here? You've already had people saying that there'll be camps. They're going to make journalists and gay people disappear.
Right.
Now democracy is going to end and Wallace will be somewhere in an unknown spot. You know, what's left? Like Roman decimation? I mean, what can you go from here?
Don't give him any ideas, Turley.
But with Carville, you know, I think you have to give him credit because nothing convinced the young as much as a raving 79-year-old. particularly with that sort of sling blade angle of the camera just made it, I think, so convincing.
And, you know, the amazing thing, I saw a headline today. It said that the White House officially claims that Biden made 148 mistakes in the last 4 months, and that's a public record. I mean, that's more than one a day, and he doesn't even speak once a day. But, I mean, you know, the guy makes all these mistakes, and yet they promote him as like he's the best thing since apple pie.
Well, he told the press that they have to root for him or else democracy dies at the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Yep.
So the very next day, Nicole Wallace comes out and says, I'm going to lose my job. Now, Nicole had never said anything about the American people losing their lives, losing their livelihoods. She just cares about her own gig.
Yes.
And Trump made her a star. He made stars out of all of these people.
Mm.
And so that's what's really going to happen. It's not all about her. Now, Katie, she got out of line. They have a very disciplined message machine.
Yep.
Nancy's supposed to come on set. She's supposed to spew talking points. And then she's supposed to take her mic off and go raise cash. If you get in the way of that, then you're part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So she uses the social shaming. Are you defending Hitler? That's what this is. You're not going to get invited. Your career's not going to take off. They're very kind of high school girlish when it comes to their methodology. I was thinking, do you know, that's a breaking news alert. If you're 18 to 30, so you've now at most experienced the last Obama term and a Trump term and then 3 years of Biden. Now the Democrats always like to talk about my lived experience. Well, let's look at their lived experience. Yeah. That two-term Trump-Obama, low prices, low crime, no immigration, not really many wars. Yeah. The Biden years was like that war. You can't buy a house. Crime wave. Prices are high. It is that lived experience. You know, he's mocking James Carville, their lived experience. We were told not to do that.
Coming up, Turks in chaos. Multiple Americans arrested while on vacation on the islands after accidentally leaving ammo in their luggage. Where you look, where you laugh, where you love with all you have, there ain't nothing about you.
And don't do something for me. Where- My dad believed.
Wow, that's a good one. A vacation nightmare in Turks and Caicos. Multiple American tourists have been arrested in the Caribbean island in recent weeks and faced 12 years behind bars after leaving ammo in their luggage. Turks recently implemented stricter gun laws. One of the men busted accidentally left 4 rounds of hunting ammo in his carry-on from a previous trip. He's out on bail, but stuck in Turks awaiting trial. It's my crime.
I still hold on to prayer that, you know, that consideration be given to the fact that we had zero intent to break any law. This was just an oversight, and it's something that I'm deeply, deeply sorry for. As these stories get out, more and unfortunately, more families are drug into this nightmare, that the State Department will get more involved. It's tearing families apart right now, and I've got two kids at home that their little hearts don't understand.
So, Judge, this sucks for this guy. I mean, he simply forgot, I think, that he had something in his bag. And is that enough for Turks and Caicos to kind of like say, what can this guy do is what I'm
asking. Well, I think the professor will agree with me. I mean, we don't know what the justification is. We don't know what the defense is. What we do know is he said it wasn't intentional. It was accidental. He can circumstantially prove that he had been on a deer hunting trip in Texas, and he left the ammo by accident, which to any gun owner, you usually keep your ammo in a separate bag, but that's just me. And it's a sad commentary. But recently they increased the penalties because people like Bruce Willis and Oprah Winfrey and a bunch of other people like Sherry Redstone are going to Turks and Caicos now. And they don't want any crime. They got drugs and gangs. And, you know, they're sending a message. I'm going to say one more thing because I know this has to be short. When you want to stop crime, you have to be clear there are going to be consequences. And if you're going to, and I'm not saying that this guy doesn't deserve a break. I think he does. I don't think he did anything intentional. But this is what countries do. This is why China doesn't have a drug problem. Mm-hmm. They kill you if you sell drugs in China.
Yeah. Although on the scale of gun runners, we can put him relatively low.
Yes.
You know, the idea of inserting the bullets physically, manually, has not been a huge problem in terms of this law. I think that the problem I see is that they don't seem to have a lot of leeway in how they deal with these things. Mm-hmm. You can't have a criminal law that is strict liability regardless of any circumstances. This is obviously not an intentional crime. I can't imagine he really was trying to get there with 4 rounds.
Yeah. He was trying to leave. That's the crazy part. Yeah, let him leave.
And he made it through TSA, by the way.
Yeah,
TSA.
He probably poured out his drink before he boarded. Jesse, do you ever worry about this? Like you're suddenly remembering that you left something in your bag from a previous bachelor party that you didn't tell your wife about?
You're a bad kid. You get me in trouble one of these days. So sometimes if you go shooting and you maybe have a round or two in there, a shotgun shell winds up in the wrong pocket, winds up in the suitcase, that happens. There's... random shells laying around somewhere. Mm-hmm. If Trump's president.
Ah, way to tie it back to him. Yeah.
This is a Commonwealth. This is a British colony, Turks and Caicos. So you call Your Majesty over in London. Your Majesty, it's President Trump. We got a situation. We got one of our fellow patriots, Oklahoma. Good guy, good family. Maybe you could see to it that he doesn't face charges. Mm-hmm. You know, lickety split. That's how you do a deal.
That's great. Dana, I've been to Turks, I've been to Caicos, and I've never been to And.
I know. I've been to a nice island. I'm sure it's a nice island.
I think it's called Ampersand.
I would like to
see. I love the Ampersand. Yeah, it's fine.
It's nice, like sugar white. Okay, two things. I think that, let's see what Secretary Antony Blinken is made of.
They got to do
something. All right, let's see. And also, here's the other thing.
Blinkety blink, leave Palestine. You go right to Turks and Caicos.
I mean, if you get taken hostage in other places, they don't forget necessarily. Hopefully, they're remembering Evan Gershkovich in Russia.
He's not a WNBA player.
That's true. Okay, but I also want to say this. I don't know what it is. I've never done drugs. I don't have guns. I don't shoot guns. But sometimes. Well, often, when I go to the airport and my bag's about to go through, I start to have this panic attack, like, what if there's a gun in there? Or what if there's drugs in there? Or something.
Really?
Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I've never had a problem at TSA, but I always think that, like, what if something's in there that I forgot about?
I know what you're talking about, Dana.
What?
What am I talking about? Just buy those when you get to the hotel. They sell them everywhere
now,
Dana.
It's weird. I'm like, I don't have guns.
No,
but I think there's
going
to be one in my bag.
Don't tell America you don't have guns, Dana.
You want them to think you got a loaded
long the guy's out on bail, which is good. He's in Turks and Caicos. That's a good place to be bail, but we hope he comes home.
He can let us know how Ann is.
Yes.
Well, apparently one guy was sentenced to 6 months, so we'll see what happens here.
Oof. All right. Who does this man look like to you, huh? A wanted poster in the UK going viral.
I hear it all.
A police wanted poster from the UK is going viral because the man looks a lot like Pete Buttigieg. The image is computer generated, and the suspect is wanted, quote, in connection with a burglary. But don't worry, it's not Mayor Pete, or is it? Is this a case of a mistaken identity or a criminal mastermind?
Two things. One, this has happened. In fact, it happened to me. There was a sketch of a most wanted suspect, and a lot of people thought it was me. It was going around for a while, and it wasn't me. But anyway.
Take your glasses off. I think that's what it is. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
There you go. By the way, so I have a question for you guys, the legal people. Do any of these sketches actually catch anybody? Because if somebody asked me to describe Dana, who I've been on the show for 13 years, I wouldn't be able to do it.
They would. Like,
they would. But I mean, like, do these things, you see sketches, they don't look like anything.
Yeah.
No, they do.
If you have a victim it's usually the victim who's identifying the person, and the victim will remember the face, the hair, and, you know, it's just another piece.
You know, the fact is, he has access to airplanes. It takes about 12 hours to get to that town.
That's true.
And he could have committed the crime, made it back, and this is an amazing act of
crime. Or maybe he was fixing a racist road. You don't know. He could have been busy having an alibi.
Let me see the picture one more time. Let me see it again.
There it is.
What's with
the
hair?
He looks like he's in Oasis or like a 90s, a kind of a 90s guitar-driven British UK band.
He doesn't look like a burglar. He looks like a pedophile.
Mm. What about the sketch?
The middle guy?
Joking.
But if you took that picture and you wrapped it up and gave it to him for Christmas and said, "Hi, I drew this for you," Pete would probably be happy with it.
He'd put it on his fridge.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, that's a striking resemblance."
All right, one more thing is up next.
Frustrated?
Time now for one more thing, Judge.
You know, one of the things that bothered me today was the students that they were pushing the cops back. I mean, they had their own, you know, dividers, and they were pushing them back, cursing at them. But this high school student walked into his local sheriff's office Friday night looking for help. But it wasn't to report a crime. He needed help tying his necktie for the prom in just a few hours. The deputy was quick to come to the aid of the student. He tied a perfect knot in the necktie, which he then handed off to the younger man.
Aww. And then he used it in a crime of passion.
Yeah.
I think that's where I went to college, in Pueblo, Colorado. Yes. So well done, Greg.
Yeah. All right, tonight we have a great show. We got Kennedy, Jamie Lissau, catch it, please hold it. Hey, let's do this. Greg's absolutely disgusting news. You want something repulsive? Let's roll it. It is disgusting. A little baby bat-eared fox. That is a bat-eared fox.
How do you know that?
Because I'm reading it. It's in the Cincinnati Zoo. Look at this. It's like a cross between a fox and a bat, hence bat-eared fox. Its name is Cal.
Cutie.
It likes to eat and nap.
Like you.
Just like you.
All right, Jesse.
All right, so Storm Chaser had a little bit of a scare. Check out this guy. Tornado coming through.
Whoa.
All of a sudden, 18-wheeler. Boom. And everybody's fine.
Wow.
We love it. Tonight, Jesse Waters Primetime. The Get It Together series continues with the Latin King Soldier. He will be on 8 o'clock.
Wow. I like that chapter. All right, Jonathan Turley.
All right, there is an Ohio man who received a gift of life from a stranger. You have a Cincinnati resident who was shopping and saw a yard sign for a guy who needed a kidney and a phone number. I know Greg's going to say this was organic lawn treatment, but they actually got together and a life was saved.
That's fabulous. And thank you for being here, Professor. Have a great night, everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.